Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, The Invisible Guest, a 2016 Spanish mystery thriller film directed by Oriol Paulo. Michelle, this was your pick. Elaborate.
Well, I saw it on the IMDb top 250. I never heard of it. No one seems to have heard of it.
No.
It looks quite fun.
Yeah, this is, well, apparently this is a big hit international-wise because it spawned four, like, remakes from different countries. So
four
it's very
remakes?
Yeah, two in India, and I think there's one other one in Korea.
An English one?
No, no English one. But the director's other one, Julia's Eyes, something had Julia Roberts. It's not Julia Roberts. It's just, like, that got an English remake, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, because I've seen that.
Julia Roberts was in
it. I'm not sure. Maybe. That would be funny.
Is it Bird Box?
That was terrible. That was Sandra Bullock.
Oh, right.
But I liked it. Michelle, what did you think?
I liked it. It felt like if you explain the premise, it's kind of Black Mirror-y. But it doesn't, like, sink to that level.
Of stupidity?
Yeah. It works.
Well, Yusuf, what did you think?
I liked it, but it felt like a really, like, you know, well-made telenovela or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very. It's very thrillery based and like cheap. Not even cheap thrills. It's constantly it understands that the audience is trying to guess along with it, and it's playing with you in terms of like, so now this is the truth, and now they pull the rug under you again. They keep twist upon twist upon twist, and it's to the film's credit that you never feel too bewildered by the twists. They build on each other and escalate in ways that escalate really well until the big final one, where it literally becomes a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
With the mask falling off. It was so funny. I couldn't believe they went there.
The escalation.
They got so ludicrous by the end. But that was fun.
It does. It starts off becoming like a bit more, a more kind of genre-y and like feels like it's a parody of the genre.
Mm.
And then eventually it goes full-blown like, this isn't irony, this is just
we're really dedicated to the mystery.
Yeah.
And I like, it's a closed door mystery, I guess it's a staple. Like, a murder happens in a closed, locked off room. How did they even get out of it?
Yeah.
And then, I guess this is a fun reversal where, like, there isn't, like, even a murderer. It was just him. Well, there wasn't, like, a guy who nobody got out.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got out of the room. It was just him this whole time. Well, the idea that the parents would arrive at the same time feels a bit contrived if he's the one who, like, murdered her. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, why would...
The woman invited the parents.
The woman invited the parents and they just...
The woman...
Because they were gonna... She wanted to confess to them.
Yeah.
Right.
What happened, and then they were gonna go to the police.
So she was like, okay, just come because they're blackmailing us, and then that happened? Then he was like, oh, I'll bring the money.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's always, it was all set up for him.
What was the backup text? I have no idea what the backup text
is. Well, the text is to make it feel like they're actually receiving a message from somebody else, right? To make him feel like, there's an actual blackmailer, even though there isn't. There was never a real blackmailer.
But
it was just her.
What does it mean they're texting from your phone? What is he?
It's because they say to drop her phone, right? She was told to drop her phone in like the trash can or something like that. And then they receive a message from him, like from her phone later on, so to indicate that the blackmailer has taken her phone. And that's all a red herring anyways, because it's just to throw him off, because, you know, it's actually, there is no real blackmailer. It was just her.
I still don't
up with
get
parents.
It, but I don't care.
Yeah.
It is quite complicated if you break it all down.
But then, like, it keeps reiterating on, like, what you perceive as the real story. Right, because in the beginning, when he's telling the story, it feels like it's her, he makes it feel like it's her idea. You go like, no, let's not help the kid, you get rid of the car, like, let's not call the police and all of that, but in reality, because it's him, because, yeah.
Well, what were you saying, Yusuf, about the smoke?
Oh, yeah, so every time there's a reveal that, maybe I'm misreading this, but I think every time he would smoke, something bad would happen, or he'd do something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would become clear that he's the bad guy, and I think they were trying to link that. They were like, he's an evil guy. Because
his lighter
smoker
is also what gives it away, right, at the beginning.
Yeah. How does that give it away? I don't understand.
The lighter was in the car.
Oh.
And then the guy takes it from the car, which he repairs for her, because he notices it and he picks it up or whatever.
So he takes the lighter that she...
No, he doesn't take the lighter. He just recognized the lighter.
In the car?
Yeah, because that's how he checks when he meets him. He's like, he purposely...
Oh, that's what... Well,
I want to see your light. I want to see your lighter, yeah.
Yeah. See? Lighter. And he's not a smoker. That's what I was like. Yeah.
But that's just trusting he didn't lose the lighter or has like 10 others.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like only...
He has like an
guys
identical.
Who smoke on multiple tens and dozen lighters.
No, but some guys have like their favorite kind
of because
like,
he's a fucking rich dude.
Yeah,
that's
and I
why.
Feel like he would be like, oh, this is the cool lighter I like.
I love his tech mogul thing and his business deal with the Chinese person who doesn't have a single light but just
Mr. Lee.
That's
all he said.
Nods.
It would be funny to go into the casting process and be the, oh my god, that's the guy. We're going to pick Mr. Lee, and he's the guy. And this guy's like big break as that. Well, anyways, the thing I found also kind of interesting is that how there's so much like internal logic to be like decided within that it was impressive. I was like, wow, these genre pieces are like really works of art because there's so much to account for.
Yes, and it is constantly building on information that you already know and either upending it or building or adding another layer on top of it, because once you realize, oh, the beginning of the story, it's all kind of the same story but told through different perspectives of people who want to see like molded a certain way for him to look less innocent.
You have to keep track of all of that.
Yeah, you have to keep track of all like who's who and who's done what and what's and whose perspective are we currently inhabiting. Because they may lie. And I love that, the lying element. It's like, oh, we can't trust what you're actually seeing.
That's true.
And I love the idea of revealing a protagonist to actually be the antagonist. Not that he was particularly sympathetic in the beginning. He was cheating on his wife and, like, lover got killed.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like he was just cheating on his wife with a woman that was kind of, you know, goading him into it. And
according to
him. Yeah, and then you find out all of that is just, he's an unreliable narrator.
I love those unreliable. Well, this and Fight Club put together is a good back-to-back of unreliable narrators.
Point, yeah.
The best lead, like, the little clue they drop when they say, like, the mother was an actress. I completely forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was
they
brilliant when
they
finally brought it back in. I was like, nothing in these movies are there just to be there. It's all details, and like you say, it's a work of art in terms of just it's a puzzle putting together a puzzle.
It's like Agatha Crispy.
Did you watch that Death on the Nile thing?
We're not talking about that, Arvin.
Okay, we're not talking about that.
Veer off the conversation.
All right.
I don't know. But this one is a bit more audience savvy. It's aware of that we know
the game
these
with
things.
You.
Yeah.
And I also love how it seemed like a very small budget thing. Like, it was very limited locations, but they did the most out of it.
Yeah.
Like, and you can draw so much drama with just two people talking and explaining things to each other in a room. And it does it really, really well. There's a little bits of montage elements that feel a bit Edgar Wright-ish. Punchy edits to like move things along.
When the lighter drops in the thing,
like,
it's a car.
And the car and the ways, the water moves into the car. Like, all that stuff.
You know what would have been cooler? Here's my pitch for the end of the movie, which I think I might turn into a regular segment. So my pitch for the end of the movie is that when she finds out that he was alive and then he drowned him, she should break down, and then he'd find out that it's not really and that it's actually the mother, and then he foils her plan and he gets away with it, and it's very like
he wins.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that will ultimately be that would be amazing that she kept it up that ruse until like he unintentionally like reveals it, like, no, the boy was dead.
Traditional and probably Hitchcockian is that he would figure out what was going on, and then some fight would ensue where the husband manages to get over there. And then he would die in a weird like was trying to kill them and go all the way evil, but he perishes in some way where he falls out of a window and slips while he's punching the dad.
I love the silhouette on the other end of the building too. That was
a
good thing. When he mentioned in the beginning, he's like, I wish I could just reduce everybody to these little silhouettes, and turns out that silhouette was very, very important.
See all that. But all that is kind of reverse engineering, which, I mean, it's impressive, but at the same time, if you have a finished like script and then you go like back and be like,
just take this part out,
put this in because because that'll happen later, and then you're like, whoa, so clever. But he's not writing it like he's got no, time.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this is you're not. But it makes the audience involved. The whole point is like to involve the audience and make them feel smart as well. Like that's a good mark of any thriller. When Gone Girl hits the second act and switch things up, you're like, oh, really? I think that's another movie that plays to you a little bit.
Here's another movie pitch I have.
Right.
Gone Squirrel. A squirrel.
Okay, go
on. It's a squirrel who marries this man. and then they fall out of love and he fakes his murder.
The squirrel fakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then he like takes all the nuts. And the man is like, I don't care about nuts that much. Yeah, so that's it.
That's awesome.
Gone Squirrel.
We should definitely make this a weekly recurring segment. It's good enough. He has legs. All right, shall we take a break? And we're back. Now let's step right up. Seven reels, everybody. That's right about five.
Five.
A competently made thriller.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's amazing. I don't think the filmmaking was like, you know, top notch, but it's very, very well executed.
It was
and
fun.
A fun time.
It was fun.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. I liked playing the game with along with the movie. What about you, Michelle?
Yeah, like five and a half.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I thought that would be lower, but I'm glad. You enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I also liked. No, it's just the neighbors.
Oh. And what's your rating, Kat?
Tell us.
The cat rates at another 5. She has good taste.
No, she's about to attack me, so that means she doesn't like that one. Look,
okay.
Look, she's like licking her paw before she attacks.
I know, she wants to inflict
like
extra chemical damage.
Yeah, so anyways.
Anyways, that brings us to what we've watched this week. What have we watched this week?
What have you guys watched?
What have we watched?
We watched Titanic.
Oh, yeah, we watched Titanic.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I thought it was very, very fun. I wish Cameron went on to make this sort of, make a movie like this again. Because if you think about it, it's so out of his wheelhouse. The first two-thirds of the movie is a very straightforward love story. With no action whatsoever. And it's you know, he's never really made a movie like that before. So it's fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And he kind of marries, I guess he avatars, like an evolution of those kind of sensibilities. But I kind of wish he never made Avatar. I can't. Or did you like it? Oh, Michelle loves it. She
Titanic
knows every single line in this 3-hour movie.
Really?
Yeah. No, she was saying it before. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, usually this is stuff I do. Still, yeah, we enjoyed it. What have you watched?
I watched Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I think Kate Blanchett's haircut was very cool.
It's close to your hair. Sort of. I mean, if you get like a bowl cut,
is it bowl cut? I'll be that.
Then you. Would,
her accent was adorable too.
I honestly, okay. Aside from the nuking the fridge part, it's not
dumb.
A bad.
It's not. No, it's not. I love the opening. Like
it's got a lot of, and then the, obviously like swinging on the vines with the monkeys.
That was a bit dumb.
That's dumb.
But that entire sequence, I love that chase through the jungle. The car, the huge ass like convoy.
It's so good. I mean, the motorcycles chase scene in the beginning is really good.
Like in the downtown, like New York segments. Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
And
the way Shia LaBeouf emerges from like the cloud of like train smoke. Like it feels so classy and Spielberg.
The only thing I think it suffers from is that it's trying to do too much and so little. They're like, I was with Sancho Panza, and then the aliens, then the nuclear weapons. Then it's trying to shoehorn him in every.
It's Sancho Panza, isn't it?
No, he tells his son that he was kidnapped by him when he was a kid.
That's from Don Quixote.
Sancho Panza. Who am I thinking of then? Wait.
Sancho.
Someone
yeah,
else.
Sancho.
Pancho Villa.
Oh.
Someone else, I guess. So anyways, one of the
and it's
Panchos.
Fun. Every set piece was fantastic. Well,
yeah. It's a good movie, I think, overall.
To clarify to our listeners, Yusuf is currently being assaulted by his cat.
Well, it's plaguing the cat.
No, it's okay. We're playing. She knows. So, yeah. Overall, I honestly liked it a lot.
Okay. Well, that brings us to our recommendations. What are we recommending? What are we recommending?
I don't know if The Hunt is a bit too far.
I'm gonna. The Hunters is a good actually recommendation, but I'm gonna recommend The Skin I Live In.
Ah, now that's another twisty movie.
Yeah, and it's
so
Spanish.
Many twists.
Yeah,
and it's really good. Arguably, each one more audacious than anything here. That movie's crazy.
I know, and you're also like fooled into being attracted.
Okay, I mean, hey, that's, you can still be attracted. You can still
What are you saying? No, I'm kidding.
Of course you can. When you watch it, then you understand.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it. So.
It's a great, it's a great story.
Such a good twist.
I'm trying to think of what I can recommend in terms of like a mystery that doesn't really reveal, that does. You know what I thought about a lot though while watching it? Panic Room, for some reason.
Oh, that's a good
one. It's another one of those like B movies that are executed pitch perfect.
Really well, yeah.
Yeah, and then again, one of the stories where there's like twists and the situation, your understanding is of like the story is constantly evolving. It's also mainly takes place in one location. It's kind of.
I want to watch Panic Room.
Yeah, I was gonna say Gone Girl, but that's too simple. I think too direct of a comparison. Yeah, Michelle.
I already said mine.
Oh,
it's The Hunt.
The Hunt. Oh, it's The Hunt.
But why?
But why The Hunt?
That's what we're asking.
Because it's got the bit of, like, is the fact that he's hiding an unintentional murder bad? Because it's not technically on its own. Well, it's, like, not great.
Wait, what am I thinking of this?
Wait, I'm thinking of the one with Mads Mikkelsen. Is that the one?
Yeah, because it's, like, the morality around
it. Well, isn't he just being accused of, like, a crime? Like, of...
Yeah. But I'm thinking of it in a more, like, disgusting...
I thought you were talking about the
But
the
I guess being
with,
falsely accused
what's her
of
name?
Things.
Where they're hunting people. The
oh, you're Mando. Thinking about the one with Betty Giplin.
That's what I thought. We were
that was pretty
about.
Fun, too.
I was like, I guess it makes sense in some way.
That was a fun movie. Both are fun movies.
Yeah.
Well, this,
well,
the one
the
she's talking about
is
this,
it's
is, about the
is,
pedophile.
Is, yeah, it's so...
But he's not really a pedophile, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. The movie makes it clear that he's being falsely accused, but nobody believes him.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Just look
what
very
a bummer.
Proto Me Too.
Yeah. Well, this is what you get when you look like Mads Mikkelsen, when you have that look.
I want to watch Drinking Buddies or whatever it's called.
The
Drunk.
Another Round, I think.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it's great. So good.
The Drinkers.
Drinkers.
yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to what we will be watching next week. Yusuf, it is your turn to pick.
We'll be watching Chinatown because I'm trying to get back on course to writing about the movie and not conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fun.
That's right, listeners. So stay tuned and watch Chinatown. If you're thinking about watching something else, forget about it. Watch Chinatown.
Forget it, Jake.
Forget it.
Forget about it is
from
Donnie Brasco.
Donnie Brasco. Forget it, Jake. Forget it, listener.
It's Chinatown.
It's Chinatown. We're doing next week. All right. Keep it real. Stay tuned.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.